Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today, right here on Bagels and Blessings, you'll hear a pre-recorded interview with author Michelle Shelfer. She wrote this incredible book called Prepare a Room, and it is about abortion, a very sensitive topic, but it's about healing and restoration. And I know you're going to love it. And I've got great music also. So stay with me and I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, now open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 4, and Fridays by appointment only. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building. Also, I'd love to have you visit us at Shema Yisrael for our high holiday services. The two Rosh Hashanah services are as follows. The Erev Rosh Hashanah or evening service is September 6th, 7 o'clock p.m. The morning service is September 7th at 10 a.m. And then the two Yom Kippur services are as follows. The Kol Nidre or evening service is September 15th at 7 p.m. And our day service is September the 16th at 10 a.m. There are no tickets. There is no fee. We would just love to have you come and join us. Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom. That was a wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel. And yes, the high holidays are upon us. And I love this song by Steve McConnell, Yom Teruah.
Isaac bound by Abraham, it seemed this sacrifice would be. But God looked on the faith of Abraham. A ram's horn caught meant Isaac would be free. Sound the shofar from the highest hill. Wake up, people, no more standing still. See the harvest nurtured by scarred hands. Soon our God and King will reap the harvest from the land. the harvest, nurtured by scarred hands. Soon our God and King will reap the harvest from the land. See, Yeshua waits for you. Soon our God and King will reap the harvest from the land. You know Yeshua. Don't be silent anymore. Sound the shofar to a dying world.
Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They've been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013, with state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment. They work to determine if they are what you need to get your life back. If you'd like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call today at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester, now located at 749 East Henrietta Road. Check them out online at uccroc.com. And now, an oldie but goodie from the group Lamb, Shema Yisrael.
Adonai Eloheinu, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Tzidkenu, Adonai Yeshuatenu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Tzidkenu, Adonai Yeshuatenu. Thank you.
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. I'm so glad that you are. Stay tuned for a very exciting interview with author Michelle Shelfer. But in the meantime, let's talk a little bit more about Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. The ram's horn, or the shofar, is blown just like a trumpet during Rosh Hashanah. It's blown every day except the Shabbat during the preceding month of Elul, and also at the end of Yom Kippur. And blowing of the shofar reminds many people of a crying voice. Hearing the shofar's call is a reminder for us to look inward and repent for the sins of the past year. And so when you hear the shofar, it kind of makes you want to wake up. You know, the shofar was also used to call people to assembly. And some people say that when the shofar is sounded, the demons flee. It's powerful. Alrighty, so here's a song now called Awake from Ted Pierce.
And arise. Ah, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people Israel, and he will have mercy on Zion. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. Shake off the dust and arise. I say, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. Shake off the dust and arise. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people Israel, and he will have mercy on Zion. Awake! Awake! Call on your God, he will give an answer. Call on your God, he will answer you. When you call on your God, he will give an answer. Call on your God. Call on your God. He will give an answer. Call on your God. He will answer you. When you call on your God, he will give an answer. Call on your God. In that day, in that day will he answer you. In that day, in that day, in that day when you call on your God. Call on our God, he will give an answer. Call on our God, he will answer us. When we call on our God, he will give an answer. Call on our God. In that day, in that day, in that day will he answer us. In that day, in that day, in that day when we call on our God. Awake! sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people Israel, and he will have mercy on Zion. Awake! 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 O Zion, awake!
That was Elena Watson, and I just want to make sure that you're awake out there, because, I don't know, it's been a pretty busy week for some of us, and, you know, haven't gotten much sleep, or I know somebody that was kept awake for several nights because their pet was sick, and, you know, a lot of stuff going on, so I just want to make sure that you wake up. And right now, let's hear from Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. Okay, that was called Sound the Great Shofar, and it's from a group called Miha Shamayim. It's a song I don't play in the air very much, but right now we're thinking about Rosh Hashanah. It is known as the Jewish New Year, but literally it means head of the year. And I invited you to our services. I'll repeat those dates. We are celebrating Rosh Hashanah on Monday night, September 6th at 7 p.m. and Tuesday morning, September 7th at 10 a.m. We're at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and we would love to have you join us.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
And now here's my interview with Michelle Shelfer.
Michelle Shelfer, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
I'm so glad to be with you.
I am really excited that my friend Sharon, whose voice sounds a lot like yours, handed me this book. And she said, I'd like to loan this book to you. It's called Prepare a Room. And I didn't know anything about you or your ministry, and I was just so excited to find out all about you. So, for the benefit of our listeners who don't know anything about you, why don't you tell us if you grew up in a typical Jewish home?
Oh, gosh. Well, I am a Jewish believer in Yeshua, and I did not grow up in a typical Jewish home. I grew up in a very atypical Jewish home, and I'll tell you why that is. My parents were not observant Jews. They were very rebellious against God and very angry at God. And my mother was a Holocaust survivor. So there was that case that so many Jews have against God, you know, that reason to be angry with him. What about the Holocaust? How could you let that happen? So I don't believe in you, God, but I'm angry at you. I think you might know people who have that kind of idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So my parents were fine artists. They were trained in the arts. They taught art and they made art. And so we had a what you might think of as a bohemian household. And we actually worshipped art in a big way. And the funny thing is, I like to say I was raised in the church because my father bought a church when I was about 4 years old. And he removed the cross and the pews and all the things that had any reference to the God of Israel, or the God of the Gentiles, because of course they were not so biblically literate and were not necessarily able to make distinctions such as one learns to make when we learn to follow Yeshua. But instead, he put up a big sculpture that was a way of sort of sticking it in the eye of all the neighbors and saying, God doesn't live here anymore. We're here now and we make art. And we do according to our own conscience and our own plan. So that's the kind of household I was raised in. Very rebellious, very counterculture, which was, we lived in San Francisco, so that was kind of the way things were there. It became later a hippie town, and so there were lots of opportunities to walk away from the moorings of the Judeo-Christian traditions.
Wow.
And that's the kind of household I grew up in. Yeah.
So having a background like that, how did you get to the point in your life where you were seeking God and eventually found out that Jesus is the Messiah?
You know, I always had a hunger. Because we didn't observe Jewish practice, there was this whole other side of people that we kind of touched on tangentially who were practicing Jews. We didn't know very many Gentiles, but I could see that over there on the other side of the fence, there was some kind of worship going on. And it always sort of sparked my interest, even as a small child, even though my father made sure to train me in scoffing at it and in belittling it. And that he made sure that I knew that that he didn't believe all that stuff. In fact, when I was a child, he actually told me that he was God, and I had no reason to disbelieve him, so that's the way I grew up. Now, the shattering moment when I realized that he wasn't God, and that, you know, that was a very difficult and very difficult, challenging moment for me, but I did have a hunger for God all along. And oddly, the way that God orchestrates things in our lives, and this almost sounds like I'm saying a joke, but I actually am married a Christian without realizing that he was a Christian. And I didn't find out, or I didn't understand, because I really didn't know what a Christian was. And he kept talking about Jesus, and I thought he was being ironic, because I didn't have any other way of, you know, placing that kind of idea in my mind. But then when I finally realized he was a believer in Jesus, and as we had children, he wanted our children to know about Jesus, I really had to come to terms with, I was faced with Pilate's question, what are we going to do with Jesus? What are we going to do with him? You can't just ignore him. He's either the Messiah or he's not. And if he is, then we have to make adjustments accordingly, don't we?
Boy. Yes, and he took a chance marrying you. I guess he must have really saw something in you, and he must have been praying for you heavily. You know, he took a risk, didn't he?
Well, he took a risk. He was also not particularly living a godly life at the time that we met. But yes, he took a risk. We both took a risk. We actually, it was a shotgun wedding, so I was pregnant, and he basically did what any self-respecting Southern gentleman would do. He married the girl. So, yeah, he prayed for me for 22 years of marriage. And I'm so grateful to him for that. He can do no wrong. Any kind of flaws in his character that come up in our marriage challenge are swiftly forgiven in light of those 22 years of faithful prayer for me.
Wow. Well, I know that you did have an encounter with Jesus, Yeshua, and your life was radically transformed. And I'd like to know more about how God has used you and how you came to write this book that I'm looking at right now, which is so magnificent, Prepare a Room. So if you're willing, please share a little bit about the steps that led to this.
Yes, I'm happy to talk about it. For the first 15 years of my Christian walk, my husband and I served in musical ministry. I saw a picture of you that you posted of yourself with a guitar, so I know you're musical as well.
Yes.
We provide music. We actually still provide musical leadership at our church, but we also served with Miles and Catherine Weiss and Beth Shalom, which is a Messianic congregation, and Beit Abba. Also, they have two works that they were serving in, and we were doing the music for them for 15 years. And all of a sudden, COVID hit, and I'm sort of skipping ahead, but this is how the book emerged. We really felt during COVID that we were being led to a new ministry that had to do with our past. Before we were married, my husband and I, then boyfriend, we had an abortion, and it really never left me. It became a fixture in both our lives that was a landmark event that created trauma. It created a lot of unresolved emotions, and it affected every area of life. This is taught as something that you can just walk away from and your life will be made easier, but that's not the truth and the reality of abortion. Abortion leaves a scar. It is damaging. Not only, obviously, it's damaging to the child who loses his or her life, but it's very damaging to mothers and fathers as well. And it leaves lasting wounds. So all of a sudden, I seemed to get a new assignment from God about a year ago, a little over a year ago, that we were to dive into this as our new assignment in ministry. We quickly wrote this book, Prepare a Room, A Path to Peace and Healing for Those Hurt by Abortion, which presents a sort of a 10-step process by which one can come to terms with the hurt and pain that arises from abortion. And then we started another aspect of this ministry. Well, we have I made a 4-minute animation because my training is in animation and the arts. We have a CD of original compositions that are written specifically for women who are suffering from abortion. And then we have what's called the Foundlings Project. And that's all about these daily drawings that I'm doing using my arts training. I'm drawing a child each day just for two reasons. Firstly, to honor the over 2 billion victims of abortion over the last 40 years worldwide. And secondly, because the child that my husband and I aborted just played such a central role in my coming to peace and healing from the hurt of abortion. You know, the women that I've spoken to in counseling and so on, you're probably familiar with this because I see that you also do this counseling, they're left not only with guilt toward God about what they've done, but there's a very unique guilt that they share that is toward the child. It's as if they're saying to the child, how in the world could you forgive me after what I've done to you? And it's a very personal guilt toward the child.
Mm.
And that in that way, my child, the Lord used that guilt as a way of just showing me that this child is now in the lap of Jesus. This child forgives me. And so when I was able to understand that my child forgave me because she's in the sort of what you might call the land of forgiveness, because she's living with Jesus, who is the forgiver, when I was able to come to terms with her forgiveness as well as Jesus's forgiveness, then I was able to fully receive what's offered by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That complete salvation is a total forgiveness for everything. And for those of us who have felt that our abortion was beyond being able to be forgiven, that was really key for me, was my relationship with her. So that brings us to the second reason that I'm drawing these children every day, is that I'm hoping that they can act as ambassadors of God's grace and forgiveness for other people who have the same issues. So what we're doing is we're putting together a Foundlings Abortion Memorial Quilt, which is made up of over 200 faces. And of course, it's continually growing because I keep drawing them. So this quilt is going to grow as well. Right now, it stands at 12 by 15 feet, but it's going to be growing in width continually. We're going to be revealing it for the first time this fall. It's still in production. It's about halfway done. The amazing thing that God's done is brought us one of the most extraordinary quilters you could ever imagine, like the best of the best, cream of the crop. She's fashioning it into something we could never have dreamed of.
Mm, wow. You know, it strikes me that before you could help others heal, you had to first experience the healing yourself, and it's obvious that God really touched you in a deep way.
Oh, absolutely. No, there's no way I could have helped anyone else. I was swimming in a morass of confusion for many, many years, even in my Christian walk.
Absolutely. There are so many wonderful chapters in the book, but I want to talk a little bit about the greater love. Would you tell our listeners what you mean by the greater love?
Well, you've really touched on the very heart of the book. It's the fifth of the 10 steps in the book, and so it's really in the middle, and it's at the heart, it's at the core of what I believe to be the power that can heal us, that can bring us to a complete healing. And it has to do with redefining, maybe re-understanding, reimagining what love is, and how we can embrace a love that is modeled by Jesus. He tells us in John 15:13, exactly what he considers to be the highest form of love. He says, the greatest love, greater love has no one than this, that is, that we laid aside or laid down our lives for another human being, as he did for us when he laid down his life on the cross so that we could be free of our sin. This is the modeling that he does for us. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that's very much about putting ourselves aside so that the other, whoever that other is, whether it's your husband or your wife, whether it's a stranger on the street who is in need of something, or whether it is this child that we aborted, if we can lay ourselves aside and love that other sacrificially, then there's a healing in that. Because obviously the woman who has had an abortion, and of course I'm including the men too, but I'm mostly talking to women here, that woman fell short of loving her child sacrificially. In fact, the child was sacrificed for our comfort. For my comfort, I aborted my child for my convenience. Because I didn't know any better, I can give myself excuses. But the fact is that I fell short in loving according to this standard that Jesus is modeling. But that doesn't have to be the end of our stories. And that's the really extraordinary and wonderful thing that I want to send out as a message of hope to your listeners, is that the story doesn't end there. Having made a poor choice in the past, that doesn't have to define us for our entire lives. We can step forward now and learn this love now and actually love this child anew now. And that's called repentance, and it's called, revisiting that love relationship between ourselves and our child. So that's really what that fifth chapter is about.
And you're not walking in condemnation, but you are experiencing God's forgiveness, and He has helped you to forgive yourself. Because I think a lot of women, and men too that are involved, are just walking around with guilt, and they can't shake it.
Oh, you know, I really don't want that word condemnation to be any part of what someone feels or senses when they read my book, because I am as guilty as they. I have no grounds on which to condemn another, and we don't have to be condemning, because if we come before the Lord with a repentant heart, we can be free of this condemnation, the self-condemnation that so many people carry around.
Amen. So, Michelle, tell me a little bit about the title and what you mean by the rooms. Prepare a room. What does that really mean?
Well, it's not about going to Bed Bath & Beyond and doing an interior design or makeover of your house. It's a thought exercise, and it came to me because I have always really loved the Isaac Watts Christmas carol that everybody sings every year, you know, Joy to the World, Let Every Heart Prepare Him Room.
Oh, yeah.
That lyric has just always struck me as being something so beautiful, that we have a way that we can prepare our hearts to embrace and receive the presence of God. And that sometimes means that we have to clean other things out of those rooms that are in our, you know, our these imaginary rooms that are in our lives and hearts. But the preparing is a beautiful process, because the Lord honors it with His presence. I just did a teaching that I posted on my YouTube channel. I have a YouTube vlog, Life After Choice, and I just did a teaching yesterday that I posted about chambers and vessels, and it goes back to Nehemiah when he stepped away from the rebuilding project of Jerusalem to visit the king, and when he came back, he found that the priest that he'd left in charge had invited an enemy of Israel to come and live in one of the chambers of the house of God, of all things, and that required removing the godly vessels so that this enemy could come and live. And when Nehemiah returns and finds what's happened, he has to go through a process of kicking that enemy out and cleansing the room. So that there was first a preparation of the room for an enemy of God's purposes, and then a restoration in a new preparing of the room to restore it to its godly use, to its godly purposes. And we can indeed do that in our lives and in our hearts.
I have to say that your book really touched me. I haven't had an abortion. I had a miscarriage, but I still have thoughts of seeing my baby someday. And I love the way you wrote the book. I really was impressed with the tenderness, the the gentleness, the love. And you state, you know, right out that you know you're not a counselor, you're not a trained counselor, but you have the heart of a counselor, and you show compassion and empathy. And I think that a lot of people would want to read this book, even if they haven't had an abortion, because it's just written so sweetly, and the Lord's love is all through it. So Michelle, if somebody wants to get a copy of Prepare a Room, what is the best way?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for your kind words. My husband and I wanted to craft this book in such a way, first of all, that, as I said a moment ago, that there would not be a feeling of condemnation. But more importantly, we really wanted to talk to people who don't necessarily know Yeshua, Jesus. They may not have a relationship with God. So I really made an effort to avoid churchy language and that kind of church talk that can be habitual for us, but it's not necessarily familiar for those who don't belong to the club, you know. And while there is a full gospel message in it, and in my opinion, the full healing cannot occur unless Jesus is involved, I do believe that there is some measure of healing that can come even to those who do not decide to give their hearts to Jesus. As for procuring the book, you can get it at my publisher website. The publisher is Nordskog Publishing, and it's nordskogpublishing.com, N-O-R-D-S-K-O-G publishing.com, and it's also on Amazon, and our CD is on iTunes and Spotify, or you can just go directly to our website, which is preparearoom.com. So everything in our ministry is Prepare a Room. We're Prepare a Room Ministries, preparearoom.com. That's what we're all about.
Wonderful. I would like to read something from page 158. And those of you who have listened to Bagels and Blessings for a long time, you know that Jesus is Greek and Yeshua is Hebrew. And whether I say Jesus or whether I say Yeshua, I'm talking about the Messiah. And I'm cool. I'm down with either name. Now, we're talking about forgiveness and not feeling guilty about what some of you did with abortion. And this is what Michelle said on page 158. I said yes to Jesus. The forgiveness that Jesus extended was and is sufficient. To me, it was though my child were responding to my anguished cry with the words, I'm with Jesus. How can I help but forgive you? The burden of guilt lifted off my shoulders. And that's what it's all about. And I'm very excited. I think it's a wonderful book, Michelle. And I can't wait to explore your foundlings. I haven't looked at those yet, just the drawings that were in the book. Do you want to talk a little bit about the one that encouraged you in the first place? You used to draw one a long time ago, and you realized who she was. Did you want to mention that?
Yes, I'd love to. So because I'm an animator and an artist, I sometimes come up with characters, and there came a point when a character just began to follow me around in such a way that it didn't even seem like it came from me. So I drew out this character, and she became a you know, almost like an imaginary friend. And because I'm a little bit of a slow learner, it took me, you know, all those decades really to realize that she actually represented the child and she that I aborted. And I didn't even realize that until the moment that I was really crying out to God, crying out to Him. I am having so much trouble accepting Your forgiveness, Lord. I'm a Christian now. I was a young baby Christian at the time, and I was crying out to Jesus, saying, "I know You're offering me something, but I can't receive it because of what I've done to this child." And it was at that moment that the Lord sort of opened my eyes and said, look at this child that you've been drawing all these years, this imaginary friend of yours. She's the way that my subconscious, or I don't know how to talk in psychological terms, but somehow I don't want to get Freudian, but I didn't know that I had made a sort of a place saver to have the companionship of my child, because I had disposed of her, but somehow I just longed for her so much that this was the way that I dealt with that for many years without realizing what I was doing was with this little animated character that I created. And I ended up using not the same animated character, but a similar one in a 4-minute animation that I made that's also available on the website, which has the same message as the book, but it comes to you in 4 minutes. And it's been in film festivals and won awards, so it's done really well. I'm really happy with the movie.
Great. And again, that website is preparearum.com?
Yes.
Wonderful. Also, I want to mention to the listeners that the book is written with questions at the end. So you could do it, you know, you could have a devotional right next to you as you read the book, and at the end of the chapters you can answer the questions, and perhaps there could be Bible studies and groups that could use this book to help them in their journey towards healing. But Michelle, I'm just in awe of what God is doing with you, and praise the Lord that you and your husband are working together to help others heal. And I just pray that God continues to bless you and gives you wisdom, and I can't wait to hear more from you and your ministry.
Thank you so much, and it's just a delight to be able to talk to your audience.
Well, thank you again, and we will definitely be in touch. I encourage everyone to get a copy of Prepare a Room, and you can get that either on Amazon or look up Nordskog, N like Nancy, O-R-D like David, S like Sam, K-O-G. The Nordskog, is it publishing?
Yes, NordskogPublishing.com.
There you go. Wonderful. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being my guest on Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We will be in touch, and shalom for now.
Shalom.
This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. That was my interview with Michelle Shelfer. If you have had or have been involved in an abortion decision, you may be experiencing emotional difficulties. You may feel like your life is out of control or struggle with self-destructive behaviors. You can find freedom from these challenges. The ministry Finding Freedom and Forgiveness Post-Abortion can help. Groups are forming now. Please contact us at 585-204-7869, email us at fffpaclass@gmail.com, or visit us on the internet at f3pa.org. God bless you. Yes, Finding Freedom and Forgiveness Post-Abortion is a wonderful class, and we are leading these classes right at Congregation Shema Yisrael in Rochester. So again, if you are interested, if you've been impacted by an abortion decision, please call 585-204-7869 or email us at fffpaclass@gmail.com or on the internet at f3pa.org. Thank you. By the way, that beautiful piano piece playing in the background was written by Tamara Alexander. Here's Paul Wilbur, Let God Arise.
be glad. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. God has triumphed mightily. Let God arise. 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 Let God arise.
And now, here's Phil Klein with the Aaronic Benediction. May this bless you as you hear these beautiful words chanted.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yair Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yes, Adonai, Panav Alecha, V'yasem Lecha, Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.